Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Pubcast show number 199.
So close.
We're nearly there. We so are close. nearly there. And we've got a guest star this week.
I wouldn't say star.
I'd barely say he's a guest. Guest suggests welcome.
Yeah. But he literally followed us down to the pub.
Yeah. So we've got Mike, Dan and Chris. Jim is due to join us in a minute. We've also got our friend Doug here. Hello, Doug.
Speak up, Doug. Yeah. The recorder's over here, mate.
Doug, now, you've never been down before. Why have you come down this week? Who do you support? Whatever reason could you have to be here?
Well, I don't support Man U.
You don't support
that's
us.
A good reason to that, come down.
Hey, Marouane Fellaini.
If we're gonna go through all the teams you don't support, we could be here for some time.
Yeah. Portsmouth, also don't support Portsmouth.
Right.
Which leads me nicely on to support Southampton.
Yes, Southampton.
How did they get on?
Yeah.
They won 8-0.
8-0, of course.
I'll tell you what, I've got a nice little story. Well, it's not that nice if you're a Sunderland fan. A mate of mine is a teacher in the North East. He's from Middlesbrough originally. He's a big Borough fan. They're doing great at the moment.
Beat Brighton 2-0.
They did, yeah. Well, when I was travelling down, there was a load of fans.
They were shit to Brighton, apparently. Yeah. Old man's getting pretty fed up, but anyway.
So he's teaching the North East. Apparently, one of the kids in his class at the end of the day on Monday was handing out after eights to all the Sunderland fans.
Nice.
He brought in a box with him.
I tell you what, that opening goal in that 8-0, the
what
own goal,
that,
what a magnificent strike.
Who needs Ricky Lambert, eh?
Yeah, Graziano Pelle.
I mean, they were. I mean, don't get me wrong, Southampton. Yeah, you only play what's in front of you. They played well, but Sunderland were fucking atrocious.
Terrible.
Minone. When the one where you're like, I don't think you've had enough yet. I've won the ball well.
Into the net.
Yeah, I'm going to kick it to your player. Just bend it around me, mate.
Like, I read Minone's having a whip round for all the.
They are,
fans.
But like I said,
doesn't mean anything.
Not really. So the 50 quid they might get back or whatever it is, like that. Does game. Going to us do that. Sorry, going to that length of trip, and then actually that whole day. Does that actually just 50 your 50 quid back or whatever? Does that make up for it?
No, none of them are going to turn it down.
It's
still.
No, but it's
the fact that it's their longest away day as well. It's all the way to
8 hours.
Southampton.
I mean, 8 hours.
8 hours. 8 hours.
We'll round it up to 8.
Round it up to 8. That's the number, isn't it?
It's crazy. I mean, it doesn't help as well that Sunderland pretty much. Everything they put out before the game in terms of meshing, because let's face it, they've been very average this season. They've not been particularly bad, Sunderland. They've won one game,
they've
drawn
the first
a lot.
20 minutes.
Did they actually
Koeman was upset afterwards. He said we were second best in the first 20 minutes. He was upset.
And they made up for it.
What do you want from us, Ronald?
Jesus.
But on Friday, they put a story up on the website with John O'Shea saying that they need to keep up their excellent defensive record.
Oh, wow.
And Gus Poyet apparently, I can't remember where he said it, but it was either on the website or magazine or something like that, said, I can't see there being many goals in it.
Oh, wow.
It's just that sort of
understatement.
Calm. Here he is.
That's it.
Southampton won 8-0, did they?
We're saying
he's down.
And Doug did actually think we were just going to the pub and followed us down. But now he's in now, so brilliant.
Yeah. Carry on.
Have you talked about the goals yet from that game?
Yeah.
I said to Doug on Monday, my sister, I was watching Match of the Day on Sunday morning, my sister.
Your sister scored the seventh, didn't they?
Didn't he? That's a bit harsh.
Didn't she? I said, I think.
Yeah, she looks just
sorry.
When the goal went in, what was the goal where they nearly cleared it off the line and just
the
basically fell over?
Yeah.
Was the seventh or the sixth.
Pella's second, supposed to be second.
And she was just like, oh, bless them. I was like, no, not bless them. Like, they get paid 30, 40 grand a week, what have you. They're just shit.
But it got to that point where it kind of was, oh, bless them. Because by that point, it was just embarrassing.
Painful.
Yeah.
I want fair play to some of the fans. I've seen a couple of videos of them as well. They kept going till the end, just like mock humour, as football fans tend to do when you're getting dicked that badly.
When Spurs were like 4-0 down or something, and the away support went, let's pretend we scored a goal.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's great when you get fans just doing
talking
like
of support. The famous Anfield atmosphere last night.
Oh, boom!
Even when it was 0-0, it was shit. You could hear the players talking at 0-0.
Yeah.
You could actually hear them.
It sounded like a game at
one of the
Cisca
biggest myths in football, along with Newcastle fans being the best fans in the world. Liverpool European night under the lights of Anfield, the atmosphere is one of the biggest fucking myths in football.
Oh, did you see? Did you not see their new banner that they got up there, Stokes?
What, at Liverpool?
Yeah.
Go on.
It was Stokes, you've got this.
They've got a banner. The Sleepy Giants have returned, so Europe should be concerned.
The stage is set for Roger's quest. Number 6 will be next.
Are they talking about Malmo?
Delusional is the word I've got.
Bless them. I mean, I know they're proud of
that. I was playing footy last night, so I missed it, but I was playing with a couple of Liverpool fans. Fair play to them for playing footy and not actually watching the game.
They
were quite happy with 3-0. Especially
3-0 at half time.
Yeah,
I thought exactly. I wanted them to get a 4 for half time, because I just thought, oh, brilliant. All it's going to be for the next 15 minutes is talking about Milan being 3-0 down at half time.
Especially
with Ancelotti on the bench for Real as well.
But
I just muted it. Well,
did you see Ronaldo got applauded off the pitch by the Liverpool fans?
Did he?
Kind of unheard of for me.
As did the left back. Marcello.
Did he? As did Mario Balotelli as well, didn't he?
Marcello. That was Pepe.
Marcello is really, really good, ain't he?
I haven't really seen him play that much. He can be hit and miss, though. He's one of those typical Brazilian fullbacks who's playing well.
They took him off to save him for Saturday or Sunday, whenever
they're playing. The first goal in the World Cup, that own goal.
He did, yeah. Yeah,
and scored the 4th in the humping of someone else in the World Cup. I can't remember what it was.
I can't remember.
He's good anyway.
But I tell you what, one good thing did come out of Liverpool this week, and I've told a couple of you lads this story, but I think this is quite a heartwarming story. My cousin Johnny, he was a bit of a naughty lad growing up. My cousin Johnny.
Yeah.
But he's turned his life around. No. Well, not yet. And if you do, Johnny, fair enough. Just don't upset your kid. But he's in his spare time, he sells stuff on eBay and goes to car boots just to raise a bit of extra cash. So he's at a car boot a couple of weeks ago, and on the way out, he saw an old Liverpool shirt. He's a big City fan, but he thought, looks a bit retro, get a few quid on eBay. Asked the fella how much it was for £5. He only had about...
Do you know what size it was?
It was a small men's. He only had about £1.70 on him. So he said, look, can I just give you that? And the fella said, yeah, sure, take it.
Did it have a sponsor?
It did. It was Crown Paints, Umbro.
Wow.
They reckon about 83, 84.
Yeah, white pinstripes.
No, it was yellow pinstripes. And it had the number 7 on the back. Of course, number 7 for Liverpool in the 80s, King Kenny. It had a blood stain on, so he washed it. Stuck it on eBay for 100 quid, thinking, well, you never know.
Imagine there's a blood stain, it's a red shirt.
Trust me, my cousin Johnny's been in enough scraps to know what a blood stain is.
Goes a bit different, yeah.
Might have been strawberry jam.
But anyway, so he washed the shirt, put it on eBay, 100 quid. Someone sent him a message saying, look, mate, I don't know whether I should tell you this, but that's a really rare shirt. You might want to raise the price a bit on it. So he got in touch with Liverpool.
Fair play to that person.
Well played, Liverpool
never commercially released that shirt in the 80s. It was only for the players. They weren't interested in buying it off him because they already have all that sort of stuff in their museum.
The main factor is the fact that they didn't use any replica shirts they didn't use the numbers on the back.
It was almost certainly match worn. May have been reserves, may have been worn by Dad Leach. To be honest, he had a bit of timber on him. I doubt he was wearing a small man's shirt.
Yeah.
But long story short, it ended up selling for £1,140.
Oh, Johnny, go, go, go.
Yeah. It's a family holiday. Yeah. That's Christmas as well, story.
Go, Johnny, go, go.
Go, Johnny, go.
Nice one, mate, yeah. What a wheeler dealer.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. But
thoughts on Mario Balotelli getting an absolute shoo-in for walking down the tunnel, swapping his shirt?
He's getting a shoo-in because he's not very good. Let's be honest. Yeah. If it was anyone else that had done it, it wouldn't be so much attention.
It's a fucking daft thing to do when you're out in the open because they weren't fully into the tunnel. Yeah?
But bear in mind, they put new shirts on at half-time.
Yeah. And lots of players do it because they have mates in teams.
Yeah, most of them do. I think you're absolutely right, Stapes. It would have been a nothing story if he'd already scored.
But he was right to be hooked at half time because he was absolutely awful in the first half.
Again,
yeah.
Much better in the second half.
Yeah,
I thought he said he was much better in the second half.
quite indicative of what they think of Lambert as well. They played Sterling up top on his own, he was never up top because he naturally will go wide to try and get the ball. So they didn't really have anyone up front in the second half.
They were a lot better. They moved
but bear in mind, 3-0 down at half time to Real, you're thinking damage limitation.
If you play a midfield of Coutinho, Allen and Henderson, you're going to get overrun. I know Real Madrid are not a sort of physical team, but the players have got, they're all fucking
They're all strength, pace
exactly,
and power.
So they just brushed, it was so easy for them, just going straight. Every time they attacked in the first half, they looked like they were going to get a shot on target. And the keeper didn't play that well. A couple of times he came out to crosses and
Mingelaise.
He's
all right. I don't think he's a top level keeper though, unfortunately.
No, I think last season he proved he was pretty decent.
See Alexis Sanchez, supposedly got the needle with his teammates for celebrating the equaliser against Anderlecht last night, and it was like, we should not be celebrating this. This is what should be fucking happening. Get back and carry on.
Yeah. Like, I don't care. He put in a great shift last night, and for me, man of the match.
No, well, that's fair. I agree with him.
But when you're in that position, it's disrespectful
if you don't respect it.
We were very lucky to win that.
But I think, like, you might as well. You give it a good quick celebration, grab the ball, and leg it back.
So it was the equaliser you were smelling.
Fair. The winning goal, you celebrate as much as you want. You go 2-1 up. But bear in mind, you shouldn't be losing for him. He's thinking we shouldn't be losing to Anderlecht. Because the both goals were scored in the last couple of minutes, so they've celebrated
after 89 minutes.
So that's why he said, "Don't celebrate the fucking equaliser. Get that ball back, and then get back and try and get a winner."
Worked out right in the end.
It did work right.
The Liverpool QPR game was ridiculous as well as the half-time kick on Sunday, because that was 1-0 with about 5 minutes left. Finished 3-2, and I couldn't help piss myself when that other goal went in. And I like QPR; they're my favourite team in the Premier League. But when that second own goal went in, I was laughing because I was like, "How can, like, it's just ridiculous that can happen?"
Two own goals and that.
Cole was having a
probably because it would have been a lot better if. Sorry, it may have been a big difference if old Adele had been playing.
Do you mean a big difference?
Yeah,
an overweight difference.
Well, not if you see the pictures of him in the sun from the other day.
He still looks overweight. Yeah. He still looks overweight. I love the fact that
some players just look. But you do get players like that. Andy Reid.
He was overweight too.
Yeah, but he was the fittest player on the pitch.
Mickey Quinn.
And they're not. And he's not actually Johnny overweight. Like, he's still chills with that player. He's overweight. He's overweight.
He's 13 stone. He's 13 stone, or he's over 13 stone, and he's 5'11". That is overweight.
I'm sorry, but we've got Doug here. Surely Doug can remember a fantastic playmaker who was maybe a little bit overweight.
Not in the modern game. Not in the modern game.
Well, it depends whether you count the late 90s or modern.
I was having this chat with some of the lads at footy last night.
Georgie King Clancy, he played
for Southampton as well for a bit, didn't he? King Clancy?
Marion Hart's
never had a six pack, but he did
alright,
didn't he?
Yeah. No, I was having this chat with the lads last night. Like,
Chris Moore's the
I agree. I agree that the way it's now become a bit of a media circus, and Harry Redknapp, as much as it's great for us in the media to see him lay into a player that was obviously lazy and is fucking doing fuck all for his 60, 70 grand a week. He should have disciplined him.
What he actually said was, "I'd never play a player in that poor shape." He played him in the Championship when he actually was overweight. It would ruin teams.
It's not like Harry to do his business in the media, is it?
The thing is, it's not like he wasn't trying to do it for publicity. He was fucked off. Really angry. It was emotional.
It was on emotion.
I think Harry knows what he's doing every time he talks to the press. It was all on emotion. He will have regretted what he said afterwards, I reckon, because he just said it was all on emotion.
I think the first thing Harry does when he wakes up is check that all the notes underneath his mattress are still there, don't he?
They were the better team, weren't they? Because QPR were the better team the entire game. He had the fucking raving needle. And when someone's like asking about a player that doesn't bother want to train or want to do, like, fucking right, Slater.
This game on Saturday, I think it's Saturday or Sunday, they've got Villa at home.
Massive game.
QPR need to obviously not lose that game. I think they need to win it as a statement, because if they don't start winning games like that, I think they will. I think they'll get 3 points.
Villa started off so well, didn't they? Yeah. And now they've lost in 4 in a trot or something.
I was talking about this to another Arsenal fan we worked with the other day. Can there be more than maybe 4 or 5 sets of fans in the Premier League who are actually happy with how their team has started the season?
Southampton, obviously. Dougie just put his hand up with a big fucking grill on his face.
To an extent,
West Ham, Southampton, Chelsea, City, potentially.
Although they've not done great in Europe and they lost to Stoke.
I think Scrap City, 100%. Yeah, they're going out of the Champions League.
A few others, maybe teams like Hull, who are not doing too badly. Palace coasting along. Leicester fans are probably quite
Leicester because if they stay where they are this season they'd be fucking
there's not a great deal of fans that would genuinely be happy with their performance.
Even we were fucking fourth until last weekend, and I don't think any United fan could claim to have been
fucking terrible start.
And
the
one thing I will say on Monday is, because I don't think it's that noteworthy this week, is that last season we would have lost that game, so that's one chink of light, but otherwise fucking poor.
I tell you, I don't need any ammo for disliking the prick, but how much of a... Did anyone see the Arsene Wenger interview with, I can't remember, the female reporter on the... What a fucking prick. From an Arsenal fan... No, from an Arsenal fan, what did you feel about that? Because it was embarrassing for me.
It was a little bit, yeah, and he does do things like that every now and then. But I think he was just a bit ticked off, obviously.
Fair enough, but the way he spoke to her like was pretty disgusting, really. And he just came across as a fucking prick.
What was she doing at football game? Slag? When they had the female commentator on Match of the Day, it was just like, what the hell? Just sounds...
Was it Gabby Logan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, commentator. Female commentator. I quite like them as presenters.
Cheerleader.
I just can't get him in around a commentary, and she's a commentator.
Yeah, but it sounds weird.
I don't like it.
It's because you're not used to it. I think it's going to
change. Change is bad. Good.
No, it doesn't matter.
Dan, you know you're about...
You're right. It's going to take time to weed them out. Hopefully, they'll all be out soon.
You know you're about to segue. I really hope you're going to segue with speaking of the treatment of women and go on to one of the big stories that we've
about to segue. So you're going to just come round
the corner? One of the old scooters.
I wasn't going to go on to that yet, but I was going to talk about, because we were speaking about the French woman who became a...
Clement.
We've got a British senior men's team, first female head coach in Shelley Kerr, who has gone to...
Shelley Kerr sounds like a beach in Cornwall.
It's not. She's at the University of Stirling men's team. They're in the Scottish fourth division, but she was basically went there, I think, to do a course and has ended up taking over the football team.
Who's she managing, sorry?
University of Stirling men's team. They're in the Scottish fourth division.
They'll be in the juniors league, so not the actual SPFL.
Right.
Sterling University, they'll be in the juniors, but which is still a very high quality league.
It's still a men's professional team, but she is mate.
Come on!
She led Arsenal ladies to 3 trophies, including the FA Cup in the summer. Like, she's got a real pedigree.
She should have had our son's job.
After 4 games, after 3 games, they were 13th with no points, and after 10 games and 6 successive league wins later, they're now 4th. So she's doing the business, and she's the Britain's first official coach.
Scottish fourth division, But yeah, exactly. Good. Sorry, I don't know what that was.
No, I love that. Some of the other lads from work come over and go, "Oh, fuck," and just legged it. The shit's head.
You can't join us. You're not in the special.
Is that really football? Even in Scottish Premier League, it's not really football, is it?
Fourth division.
Tell that to a Hamilton Accies fan at the moment.
Yeah,
you're right. And I tell that to Tom Hunter.
And tell that to...
He's a massive Celtic fan in every sense of the word.
I'll tell you where he wouldn't be popular: in our Glasgow office with the lads who I was out with on Friday night.
No, but he also who he would have supported is the fucking keeper.
Yeah.
The Celtic keeper who got assaulted by another professional.
two other professionals who have been named on Twitter, but we can't name it for legal reasons.
Oh, we should fucking just say him. Who's going to give a shit about
the show?
Well,
I've not seen his story.
It's more I can't remember the name.
So the Celtic keeper was out on Saturday night. Was out on Saturday night with his missus on what quite a popular, expensive strip in Glasgow where all posh restaurants now are.
Nando's was full, so they were out in the street.
And he just got he basically got an unprovoked attack by two.
Apparently, it wasn't unprovoked.
Okay, well, either way, he got attacked, but he got proper done, smacked around the face, couple of hit his head in the curb, was knocked out for about 4 minutes.
Wow.
And to call ambulance, a proper attack.
Well,
by who?
Let's
you don't have to name them, but
let's just say, because apparently he called them orange bastards, which can obviously mean a lot of things in Scotland. But let's say that it could have related to the football club they were playing for, and they don't play for Motherwell.
Say no more.
Players.
Yes, other players.
We were going to say official.
One of them's an international.
I wonder where that full boy is that got the Chelsea player sent off.
Hazard.
I wonder what he's doing these days.
Probably being a lot of shit somewhere else. Good lad.
Nice one.
But also on Scotland and being attacked on the pitch. It happened for Dundee, didn't it, Daniel? Someone got attacked on the pitch after scoring
brilliant.
A goal.
Yeah, but I don't know if anyone knows anything about this. Have you seen all the internet memes now where anyone falling over or getting hit, they've changed into a WWF meme? know, like the RKO, yeah, or like the
Randy Orton.
So yeah, so yeah. It's gone all over the internet, and obviously this is, it's been spotted by Dundee FC. So Dundee FC, two players after scoring a goal, one of them RKO'd the other one on the pitch, and it's made international news in like reports in the States going like, Scottish soccer players do RKO in league match.
They're calling it an RKO.
Yeah.
There was that Icelandic team that did the best celebrations, like the catfish getting caught.
Oh, that's fucking brilliant.
And my favourite is where he scores the goal and then jumps over into the stands.
Yes. That's FC Man United. Right. FC Manchester, sorry.
Yeah, so that's actually
made international news. There was another one where some fella did a somersault, landed on his neck.
I've actually got three very sad stories about that. We're going to have a little quick somber 30 seconds, right?
About the all three related to the same incident.
No, all three deaths in football this week, which is fucking sad, right?
And it was a 15-year-old last season. Yeah.
So Peter, fucking hell, Bixa Gangdzula.
He was Indian.
That's right, yeah. I'm not sure if he was Indian, but he was playing the Indian League. It was on live TV, this was.
I think he was Indonesian.
But it was on live TV in India. Went to do a somersault celebration after scoring a goal. Landed badly. And unfortunately died a few hours later in prison.
In prison. Jesus Christ. That's
in hospital. Where the fuck is the prison?
Somber moment.
Where the fuck is the prison? Sorry. Oh, shit. Next on the news. How the fuck you recover or something after that? No, honestly, thoughts as well go to a female teenager, Melissa Smith, playing
it's
in
crazy
under
when
16
this sort of thing happens, yeah, because they
it's
should
horrible.
Just
under 16 female
obviously
like,
a bit of heart defect or something like that, but yeah. You hear like one or two stories
time.
Every year, didn't you?
Just for half time, they've just collapsed and died.
No one's worse than the other one, but
no,
in fact, it's a 15 year old girl as well.
Yeah.
15, like anything
well,
after sort of
and then
the ages.
Then there's a 23 year old English lad who was playing for a Norwegian second division side. He'd been out in Norway playing for a couple of years, signed from in the beginning of this season, I think, or January last season. Went out on a night out with his mates, and 2 days later, I think it was Saturday night, 2 days later, his body was found in a river. A 23-year-old Norwegian.
So nothing's been...
No idea. So, obviously this... Sorry, a bit of somebody like
some things are
trouble.
More important than football.
Yeah, and it's a real shame.
But moving on to that, some cheerful news, some life-giving news, or some life that has been given and is now up for sale. Because there's the fella in Manchester.
Say that again.
The life has been given and it's now. You'll see where I'm going. We're not talking about child prostitutes this week.
Right.
Fella in Manchester, originally from Hertfordshire, I can't remember his name, but he has auctioned on eBay his son's footballing allegiances for charity. His son was born 5 weeks premature and he said the highest bidder can choose whether his son's United or City. He'll buy him the kits and take him to the games.
Who does he support?
He doesn't support anyone from Hertfordshire, that's why he says he's got no great ties.
That's a good idea.
So I don't know, but I think City have put 30 million in plus Peter Richards.
Signed him up. So 20 million.
Yeah.
I think
why is it just City United? Why can't
he's in Manchester?
Yeah,
Stockport.
I'm sure it could be open. Rochdale, Bury, FC United of Manchester.
Says the true league football supporter.
Yeah.
I think my favourite story of the week, possibly our favourite, I could be wrong, but a referee was forced to abandon the Peruvian Cup game, right? It was again.
Bloody loved the Peruvian.
No, we loved the Peruvian game.
Magic of the Peruvian Cup.
I remember amazing. Sitting down and watching that.
Cup final day.
The build up for Cup final
day. Yeah, the coloured numbers.
The donkeys coming in, bringing the players in.
You'd have been fucking disappointed at this then, right? So it was a semi final.
I just bloody loved the Peruvian. It's the best cup competition.
I've been a guinea pig at half.
Do you know why it's the best competition? Because shit like this happens, Stapes. Shit like this happens. It was Bolivar against Defensor La
Bolivar from Bolivia.
Right. Stats.
There
right.
they are.
I've lost that. I've lost the wrong.
What happened?
Anyway,
fuck
in
Bolivia.
The fucking game.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen. That's in shit. This game, so it's the first. It's the first leg of the semi-final, right? And the team's 4-1 down. They've already had two players sent off. So in the 88th minute, at exactly the same time, five players go down feigning injury to try and get the game called off.
Warnock did that, didn't he?
Yeah,
in
against
the game.
Turnant. Oh no, was it?
It was Sheffield United.
No, it was Megson. Yeah, it wasn't Turnant.
Was it not Turnant?
It was Sheffield United versus West Brom.
West Brom.
Yeah.
and West Brom were 3-0 up, and Sheffield United had 2-3 players sent off, and then did the old injury.
So I think they played the game. Losing team.
Yeah, so they're 4-1 down.
Wait, it was like the 85th minute.
So they're 4-1 down. They've already had two players sent off. They've got a second leg coming up, but to try and get the game abandoned, five players at the exact same time have just fallen to the deck and clutched their knees. So the ref had to abandon the game. You have to have seven players on the pitch.
Yeah.
But obviously, funnily enough, the Peruvian FA are investigating because it looks a bit fucking suspicious.
Well, you've got to be pretty fucking stupid, especially if you do it late in the game.
It's definitely suspicious. If a Bolivian team are playing in the Peru,
that's the most fucking suspicious thing.
To me.
I'm sure it's in Bolivar. I'm looking at that.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I'll tell you what. Massimo, we talk about Massimo Coleno every fucking week because the guy is absolutely batshit crazy. You see that apparently last week, you know, the Yorkshire Derby last Friday, there was a lineup change about 5 minutes before kickoff, and it's Mirror Football pretty much got it confirmed that it was his decision. He's the fucking chairman. What has he got to do with football?
Didn't do him any good.
It didn't do him any good. They lost the game. They're like, he is. The guy is absolutely batshit crazy, but it's also talking about, you see, Cameron Jerome went mental on Tuesday night, I think it was, because he said, because he's accused Giuseppe Belushi of racially abusing him during the game.
Apparently, he tried to smash his way into the change room afterwards.
And at half time. At half time, he tried to get into the change room, and officials had to hold him back.
And talking of that, did you see that Kieran Dyer came out and finally said what the old spat was? Do you remember when Bowyer and Gary had that little set two?
Little set two? They're fucking playing for the same
team. Yeah, both playing for Newcastle. He was basically, he got the ball and he passed to someone else, and Bowyer was like, why don't you pass to me? And he just carried on. And he did it again, and Kieran Dyer just went, I ain't passing you because you're fucking shit. And that's what caused Bowyer. They just don't start.
Well, have you read his description of the fight? He's talking about my. Oh, bloody hell, look at this. Gerardo.
What's going on?
Jerome's had a couple.
Yeah.
Oh, about that.
What are you doing here, Jerome? Villa didn't win at the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, shit.
No, Jerome.
Pull up a seat, friend. We're talking about Kieran Dyer and Lee Bowyer's fight. Do you remember that years ago? Dyer's come out and said what it is about.
Dyer's come out eventually.
Because Stephen Taylor was also sent off in that game for handball, so they went down to 8 men. They should try to get it.
Was that the one where he hit his arm and he pretended it hit his like.
Yeah, it was.
Is that in the Peru Cup as well?
No, someone did that at the weekend as well. Someone did that at the weekend, it hit his arm and he went down holding his face. It was on Match of the Day, I can't remember.
The best one of that is still Rivaldo. Hits his shin and goes down holding his face.
Classic. But I tell you, Dyer came out. He said, when Bo started hitting him, his first thought was, what the fuck are you doing? His second was, you need to get down the gym more, mate, because these aren't hurting. But then at the end of the interview, the best thing was, he says, oh, me and Lee are still friends, we still meet up for drinks every now and then.
Oh, you are mates.
We are threatened to smash
him. Yes, said he coming in up and Bo.
Well, to be fair, we can all agree that most of us have played football here together, and most of us have had a barney with each other on the pitch at some point, but we're all still mates.
You say that, most of us about a Barney with you on the pitch.
Or you, fuck me, you are the gobbiest shy here.
To be fair, the pair of you.
I've never had an argument with Jerome on the pitch, or Doug.
No, Jerome fights himself.
Oh, Mike.
James beats the shit out of himself on the pitch. I'm better than this.
We have him with Chris because he's only played once and he was sick in the toilet, so after playing in goal for 10 minutes.
I like the soonest bit because it reminded me of do you hear about Tony Pulis when he was Stoke manager, had the fight with Beattie when he was naked, and so like they were arguing about the Christmas party.
Why did you do a whip action?
Well, he had his towel, so it was very much
an audio show. Any visuals don't really go down too well.
We could really
but then they want to see a naked Tony Pulis with his cap on fighting James Beattie.
He definitely still had his cap on.
That's why Beattie ended up leaving, because they had a big barmy over the Christmas party when Pulis was naked with his cap on. I don't know whether he had the cap on, I just assume
he definitely had the cap on. See Leighton Orient are doing a fucking reality TV show.
Yeah, on French TV. Is it French TV?
Is it on French TV?
No, not French. Oh. Either in New York, Italian.
Wasn't it Leighton Orient who John Steele managed when he was famously filmed calling out all his players and swearing as his half time team talk?
Yeah.
Like, challenged five of the players to a fight and called them all, well, we've not said it yet this week, so cunts.
Wee.
There's the bomb for the week.
I tell you who is a cunt. Sorry.
Again. Well,
Arthur Petrosian, right? Who is, bearing in mind, the editor in chief of SportExpress.ru.
I thought Arthur Petrosian won the Macedonian League last season.
No. So he is and he's you know he's important because he's verified on Twitter.
He's got a tick.
Right? He's got a blue tick. Wow. So he's a
bit of a fat cat.
Why haven't we got a blue tick? Any fucker could be tweeting from our account.
Bastards. Anyway, he tweeted this after the Man City CSKA game. Torres clearly stamped on Milanov's heel and stopped potentially dangerous CSKA attack. No card? Would it have been racist to book him?
Why would you bring that up?
Like, he's tweeted that. Obviously, you can imagine the torrent of abuse the prick has got. He's like, you're supposed to be a professional journalist.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
But
that just shows, how...
Yeah,
two right
is a fucking cunt.
Yeah, that's three now, but all
right. Yeah. I think it warrants it.
No.
But it is, I mean, absolutely fucking...
That's really riled me, Jim.
Oh, no, it has. You don't get riled very often,
do
you?
No, look at me, I'm more animal than man. I can't rule.
I like it. I've just seen what you've got on there as well, Dan, the big story from Sheffield United this week.
We're going to do it, are we?
No, yeah, Sheffield United player buys a car.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
This is actually, I'll hand it over to Jim Sable for this.
Ted Evans.
No, why would you do that? Why would you do that? You are not being invited ever again.
Talking of Ted Evans, have you seen his YouTube video?
His statement.
Released a statement last night.
Yeah, I watched it.
The weirdest thing about that is, one, his wife or his missus absolutely perfects the looking gormless straight at the camera thing for a minute.
He looks like a naughty boy, doesn't he?
Yeah, but his accent, it's like a mock between, it's like Welsh, Northern, and like Scouse.
And it's really, really quite soft.
Yeah. I think
that's what Fred will do too,
yeah. But no, Sheffield United on yesterday released a story which they put out on their Twitter and their Facebook accounts. Basically, if you click it, it's the headline is midfielder buys a car, and it's just their headline. Their main sponsors are like a car dealership
in Sheffield somewhere, aren't they?
This week Jamal Campbell-Rice, the Jamaican international winger of Sheffield United, bought a car, and then it's him just telling him, the service was great, I'm so glad I bought my car from John Wells Cars. Everyone should get down to John Wells Cars. It's unbelievable.
Quality BMWs,
the most fucking obvious plug.
Yeah, and it's got like a cheesy photo of them all like standing there
with a shirt.
So basically
pointed at the sponsor, and this guy.
All the Sheffield United fans. I saw it on someone else's feed because they're a Sheffield United fan. All the other Sheffield United fans. Like, oh yeah, great. Thanks for letting us know that he's bought a 30 grand car that I can never ever achieve in my life. Brilliant.
I know Jamal Campbell-Rice's girlfriend.
Really?
She used to work with us. Well, with me and Jim. Did you work with Hayley Lewis? No, I don't think you did.
Are they still married?
Hayley Lewis? Yeah, Hayley Lewis got out with Jamal Campbell-Rice.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they still together?
Yeah, they're currently together.
When
she used to work with us, they were just friends, but now clearly it's blossomed into more when she realised he earns 5 or 6 grand a week.
You're Jamal Campbell-Rice. I hope his nickname's like Crispy or something like that. Special fries.
Uncle Ben's variety.
Yeah. Uncle Ben. Just call him Uncle Ben.
Yeah. No, I want special. Yeah.
I once wrapped up some Uncle Ben's rice for my sister, two of my sisters, and put it under the Christmas tree from Uncle Ben. Oh no, it's to Tina from Uncle Ben. They opened it and neither of them
didn't
actually
get it.
Did
you have an Uncle Ben?
No. It's brilliant. That's like, how stupid are you being? Okay. They were like, it's your handwriting, why have you wrapped it up? From Uncle Ben, it's Uncle Ben's. Oh, it got a better reaction from you lot.
Speaking of being stupid, did you see the Marseille coach sit on the sit on burning coffee and burn his ass? So there was like a drinks cooler with a styrofoam cup of coffee on it, and he obviously didn't even clock it. Went to sit down and you see him burn his ass and jump up in the air.
I'll tell you what, so we like about Marseille, but they're 7 points ahead of PSG at the top of Ligue 1 at the moment. So
it shows how much they're missing Zlatan.
And Monaco are in the bottom half.
Are they?
Yeah, who would have thought after getting rid of Rodriguez and Falcao?
You're right.
But should be a good step further.
It's funny because clubs.
Sorry, speaking of French.
Right, go on. I was just going to give a bit of background on Monaco, but by all means.
No, go, because I'm speaking of French, but.
Because players are still perennially being linked with moves to Monaco, and Arsene Wenger's being linked with the manager job there. But their owners are pretty much pulling the money. They're not going to be rich for long. They're going to be in trouble.
I like that.
Arsene Wenger, it don't matter to him, does it?
No money.
Well, I don't get to spend. Oh, yeah.
But there'll be trouble for the French club.
Right, speaking of trouble for French clubs.
Oh, what a link.
Sign the Toulouse keeper.
What?
Apparently, supposed to be linked with the Toulouse keeper.
Yeah, but we've already got two good keepers. Anyway, it didn't matter. You're right. But No, there's Hugo. Chris
has been on it this week.
No, I think he said four whole words this week.
Yeah. And that they were right. To be fair, he's made a lot of animal noises.
This is true. Scumbags of the week. Lille fans.
Oh, God, yeah.
100 hooligans in Lille in an unprovoked attack. Attacked Everton fans with steel chairs or metal chairs.
More than the RKO.
No, yeah, did no. someone then RKO? Yeah,
it's not another wrestling reference, but funnily enough, it is.
Unfortunately, the referee wasn't watching, and Lille have now been awarded the tie tomorrow night.
Yeah. I mean, it does say metal chairs. I sort of embellished the steel chairs. Because, we've got to stick with the wrestling references, haven't we?
Is there any truth to the rumours that Everton Lille is now going to be played inside a Hell in a Cell?
Inside a steel cage.
Yeah. Dugan!
Jim Ross. Somebody start the match.
Jim Ross on commentary for.
Can you imagine Jim Ross doing football commentary?
He does American football.
Oh, you're joking.
No, he does. And UFC. Yeah.
Fuck it, I'm going to start watching it. Jim Ross. Oh,
but wait, he does college football, but it's on ESPN. I don't know if he does it on that.
Oh, sorry, I've got ESPN. That is it. Yeah. I'm going to start recording all that shit.
So we'll be back next
week. My God.
We'll be back next week with the college football podcast.
Yeah.
Any more?
I've got a couple of other little stories very quickly. World Cup winner Fabio Cannavaro and his wife are being investigated for tax fraud. Tax evasion.
I'll tell you what, stick him in the same prison as Messi when he goes down for it. They're going to have a hell of a team, aren't they?
Greatest prison team ever.
Wormwood Scrubs FC.
Newcastle Cosmos are in talks to sign Raul.
Newcastle Cosmos.
What is wrong with me today?
New York Cosmos.
Yeah. Hey, we used to have Pelé playing for us. We had the Franz Beckenbauer. Did you ever watch Monkey Dust? Brilliant. Yes. Look at him on YouTube. Brilliant. With the meat safe murderer.
Yeah.
That's got nothing to do with football.
Doesn't matter. It was brilliant.
All right. So, what was I saying? Oh, yeah, Raul, who is only 38.
Are you joking?
No, Raul is still only 38.
He's still a handsome motherfucker.
Oh, what a handsome man. But he's only 38 still.
And so he's still got at least a year in
him. Well, a couple. Well, bearing in mind the way he plays. Yeah, but supposedly he's either in talks with or signed a pre-contract with New York Cosmos to play for him and be part of an academy coach as well.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Speaking of New York football clubs, we haven't really spoken about the A-League since it came back.
Oh, bollocks!
But
I was supposed to do an A-League roundup, and I'm not going to lie, I completely forgot.
We'll definitely have one next time, but have you seen David Villa has been recalled by New York City?
Yeah. Joking. He's got 2-2 now, for...
He's played 4 games in total for them now. I'm not sure how many he's got. I think we've cut games up.
Okay.
But yeah, that's it. It's for media commitment. So I'm reading Roy Keane's book at the moment, and he was angry.
It's for media commitment?
Yeah.
And he got like 3
players. Why he's been recalled to New York?
Yeah, media commitment.
Fuck
it. Now, Roy Keane in his autobiography talks about how angry he was when he was at Ipswich and Jack Colback got recalled for a game against fucking Notts County. But media commitments, even worse. Worse than Notts County.
I mean, you got about 4 players, haven't they?
Talking about outrageous.
This is outrageous.
Outrageous. A senior official from FIFA has said that potentially World Cup games in Qatar, matches could start at 1 a.m.
Take the fucking World Cup off them.
It will.
It'll be a 7 o'clock game. Leave it, Chris. I'm angry this week.
I'm not Hulk.
A 7 p.m. game, a 10 p.m. game, and a 1 p.m. game. 1 a.m. game. Sorry. Imagine how would you train? You'd have to become nocturnal. How would you train your body or train yourself to actually? The games would finish at 3:30 in the morning. Like, how could you train?
I'm not going to be able to stay up.
No. It's great for us because that would be about 7 o'clock in the evening here.
Right. But even so, they didn't bid for that. They shouldn't have it. Take it off them.
On an unrelated note, the Animals of Farthing would have joined FIFA and they're really hopeful for 2022 for all those middle of the night games. They've got the Owl in the team. They've got
the Badger.
Depends if he survives the TB.
Yeah.
Cold bastard. any more?
I believe that is it.
Well,
fuck me, we have got through a ridiculous amount of shit. I mean, we haven't talked. There's so much stuff
we haven't even really talked about results, have we?
No.
Or the upcoming fixtures.
Yeah,
anyway, it doesn't matter. We've done.
How did Southampton do?
I can't remember.
You are never welcome here again.
I'll give you this one. I hate you.
Sunderland have actually signed a new wing-back. Or no, off the back.
Oh, Riviere.
Riviere. He's a good player.
They signed him ages ago but couldn't get a work permit, and he's finally got his work permit.
I think he's free agent or something like that.
Oh,
he's
free agent.
Napoli last season got released.
Oh, is that the geezer that Spurs were trying to get?
Could be. He's an ex-French international. He's a good player. He's good.
Yeah.
Was he at Valencia at one point? Am I talking shit?
Possibly.
Yeah, it could have been.
I don't know.
I think he played for Bolivar for a while in the Portuguese league.
In the Portuguese league? Yeah. Or the Peruvian league?
Or the Peruvian.
Or the Bolivian.
Polish.
Yeah.
Whatever. No, not Bolivia. Don't be ridiculous. We'll see. We're having a bit of an R because we're not going to be around next week for show, because I'm in Prague and the world falls apart when I'm not here because I'm selfish.
Exactly.
And the show after that's going to be our 200th show. Which is going to be very exciting.
Yeah.
We promised a bombshell announcement for that show, but we're going to keep you hanging on.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, no one will fucking listen.
Yeah.
So tune in. It will be 2 weeks time. We're going to do something big and exciting.
Well, we might try and do an extra time next week, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah.
We might try and do extra time. We won't promise anything, but we might try and do a little extra time.
Yeah,
or
hold on to your
We'll see.
But yeah, the 200th episode will be in 2 weeks' time.
I might give my musings because I'll be in Prague. Maybe I'll see if I can find out if Sparta or Slavia are playing and persuade my missus to
she will never let you go to that.
Of course she won't. She might let me look it up on teletext after the game.
She might,
if
she
I'm looking. Anyway, you know the usual stuff. We're on Twitter at Football Podcast. Leave an iTunes review. We haven't had one for a few weeks and we will read it out. We're on Facebook /eFootball. Have you?
Yes.
What's your Twitter handle?
At CAStokes91.
That's not easy to fucking remember,
Stokes
is it?
CAStokes91.com or something.
Yeah. .com.
Something like that.
Hashtag banter.
Yeah.
Right, have a cracking week. I will speak to you either next week or in 2 weeks.
Bye.